Okay, everyone, Boker Tov world. Today's daf brought to you from Eretz Chanta Tova Urchava is daf Samach Tet. And yesterday we got up to Bari Rav Chanina. Amazing, amazing issue. I think so, anyway. If I'm wrong, please let me know. We did get up to Omid Aleph, right? I'm not like projecting that I was going to get up to, but I didn't. We did get up to there? We didn't get up to there? Yeah. Okay, if you're sure, I'll start from before. Start from before? Oh, right, that's right, that's right. I just got up to the second lotion. I'm telling you. Whew. It's a good thing you caught me. All right, so let's try that again. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Eretz Chanda Tova Urchava, is daf Samach Tet, and we are still holding on the back of right towards the end of Samachet Amud Beit, and we had the machlokas yesterday between Rav, on the one hand, Rav Yudom Rav, and Ula, who was quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And according to Rav, once an animal sticks out, we're talking about a fetus over here, we're talking about the expanded halacha of treifus, which this parak introduces here in detail, that anything that is chutz l'mechitzato is considered to be a treifa, even though there's not the slightest thing wrong with it. And we're talking about a case in which a fetus, in a difficult birth, a fetus was a malpresentation, fetus stuck out a leg or a hand, and then brought it back inside, and afterwards it was delivered properly, let's say. So the question is, having once extended a hand outside of its mechitza, and its biological mechitza at that point is its mother's womb, obviously, does it become a permanent treifa? So according to Rav, basar basada treifa is a permanent situation, and even though the Mishnah said that if it brought it back in, it's mutter, it doesn't mean the leg is mutter, it means that the fetus is mutter. And the way that we came out in the end, according to Rav Nachman by Yitzhak, is that the only reason that the Mishnah mentions bringing the organ back in, whatever it was, the leg, the hand, as long as it wasn't the head, because then it would be yolud, the only reason the Mishnah mentioned that was to make certain that after you cut it off, the part that was actually cut was within the womb and not at the surface right at the external opening of the womb. That would be the point. And therefore, there are three things that we need to deal with. We need to deal with the aver, we need to deal with the uber, and then we need to deal with the other question, which doesn't involve treifus, but which involves the pasuk of behema ba behema, and that is that it has to be completely surrounded by its mother in order for the mother's shechita to be useful for it. That was the shechita that we spoke about, according to Rav. Rabbi Yochanan, however, he said, according to Ula, he said that actually, even if the aver itself had gone out, once it's brought back in, it's considered to be kosher. Then we went and we were able to bring it to Yufta, to Rav Yochanan, and we ended up showing that Rav was actually correct, and that the aver, having been brought back in, cannot undo its treifas, and it is going to be considered to be a treifa. So we got up to the understanding of the Tiyufta Deula Tiyufta, which is Deula Om Rav Yochanan, and we got up to B'ma'arava Matnu Hachi. So that is five lines up from the wider lines on the bottom. So this was the way the girsa that we had yesterday, the way that we described it yesterday, was the approach in Bavel. They had the same sugya, at least that's how Rashi understands it. We'll see the other tretim in a moment. They had the same sugya in Eretz Yisrael, but they used a different way of referring to the dinim. And the question is there a serious halachic difference between the way in which it was presented in Eretz Yisrael and the way that it's presented here? So, b'maharav amat noach, the way that the whole sugya is presented in Eretz Yisrael goes like this. Rav amar yesh leida le'evarim. even individual organs, are considered to have been born. So, I mean, that seems to say basically the same thing. In other words, in the same way that if the head came out, it would be completely no longer part of the mother, and there would be no way to be matirit but shchita sa'im. So Rav was saying, even when an aver comes out, a single aver is considered to be yolud in the sense that it's already out. There's no way to put it back in, and that would be benogeya the dinim of dreifus. That's what it sounds like. And Rabbi Yochanan says, ein leida b'leivari, which Rashi understands to be the same machlokas, just in different words. So, therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if I brought it back in, it's not as if it's permanently out, and therefore it's not considered to be a treifa. So is there a difference between the presentation, or is this just semantics? My binayu, the difference binayu would be, lemesa miut aver. See, there's a big difference. Because if you use the word leida to the aver, then the implication is that this is a din in the entire aver. In other words, let's say you would have rove of an aver that had been extended outside of the womb, but not the entire aver. The way that we had read it originally was that whatever part was outside would be usher, and whatever part remained inside would be mutter. Now we had the question about the makom hachatach, which was a different problem as to whether it was completely surrounded by the aim as it was shechted. Okay, I understand, but what if most of the aver had gone out in the first lashon? What's the difference how much went out? Whatever went out is treifa because it was chutzul mechitza. Whatever didn't go out isn't treifa because it wasn't chutzul mechitza. But with this lashon, that there's a concept of leida to the aver, then I would say once most of the aver came out, then the aver as a whole is viewed as having left the mother. And that would mean that the entire aver would be treifa in the event that most of it had gone out. That's a completely different way of looking at it. And this lashon would say, ike b'nai l'meser miyud aver. The difference between them would be whether the rest of the aver that went out is usher or not. That makes a big difference. Now, that's how Rashi meant. The other rishonim, particularly the Rif, have very strong objections to Rashi's approach, and we'll see why. And they learn that this means that the only machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, not the difference in the language, but rather what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav? And that means that according to Rav, if there's leida leivarim, so the entire aver is usher. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, only the part that went out is usher. But in this version, we never had it to yufta of Rabbi Yochanan, because in this version, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that whatever did go out is permanently treifa, and they were only arguing about the miyat evarim. That was the question. But as far as being able to undo the tarfus and bringing it back in this version, Rabbi Yochanan had never made that mistake, and there was never a tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta. That changes the way that Rashi or and Rif understand the next piece. Ibailo. So now the next question is, according to the Madiyamar who holds Ein Leida Le'evarim, so again, there'd be two different ways of meaning what? That Ein Leida Le'evarim, that would be Rabbi Yochanan, and he would hold, according to Rashi, that if Ein Leida Le'evarim, then even the miyut ha'evar that went back in is kosher. So then, and then the question is, of course, why are we asking a question about what the din would be according to Rabbi Yochanan if we already showed that Rabbi Yochanan is not viable because of the brayta we used to say tiyufta yesterday? That's one of the objections of the Rif. If it's a tiyufta, why are we further discussing it? Now that makes more sense to say that in this version, Rabbi Yochanan has been perfectly okay because he agrees that what was actually taken out is left out, so to speak. It's a treifa. But in any event, according to Mandiyama, so let's imagine that an Uber sticks out a hand, brings back the hand, takes out the other hand, brings back that hand, sticks out a leg, brings back that leg, sticks out that another leg, brings back that leg, and so on and so forth until it finally has rove that has gone out. So, achish memolo rubo. So what would we say then? would we say, look, I understand, according to Rav, that there is Leda, we would be Metzarefit, because each piece would be sort of like a Leda. So then we would have a Tziruf of the pieces. But Miyam Ninan Anofek Leiluva, do we say, look, by now, most of it has already gone out? Or do we say, well, Kivan Dehadar Hadar, once it went back in, so then it was already back in, it would not be considered to be able to be Mitzuraf. Leda would mean an Rove coming out, not gradually pieces coming out that are Rove. And that's my first question. My second question is like this. In Tim Shalomar, Kivan Dahadar Hadar, if you're going to tell me that, well, look, I mean, once you brought it back inside, so then that undoes the Leda. Now, what would be if sticks out a hand and you cut the hand off while it's stuck out? Sticks out the other hand, you cut the hand off, and so on and so forth. Hotzi v'chatacha, hotzi v'chatacha, achi shlima l'ruba. Now you have most of the uber has been cut off and never ended up going back inside. What about then? Do we say, look, once most of the uber was born, meaning that it actually made its way out of the womb, that's the point at which it's considered to be born. Or do we say, so if it's true that most of it comes out, then it's born, so then if I shech the mother, the shechita is not going to help even what's inside, because it was already born. That would be the same thing as Hotzi Rosho, right? Once a head comes out, you're not going to be matir anything that's in the mother. So over here, once you have Rov, it's always Rubo, Rosho, O Rubo. So if you end up with Rove, what good is it going to be to shech the mother? This thing is already born. Or, in order to define birth, do we say, Ruba babatachapa inan? How do you look at it? Well, v'chora, that is the case that our Mishnah is hinting at. Because the Mishnah adds a case, and we never understood when we read the Mishnah, what is that last piece of the Mishnah adding? Zeh haklal. As if it's telling you something new. So I'm going to tell you a brand new klal. And then it doesn't add a darn thing to what we already know. The Mishnah opened up with the difference between a fetus or actual parts of the mother. Let's say a spleen that was operated on and was left inside of the body, and then we shechted the mother. So we said that case in the Mishnah. Nonetheless, the Mishnah ends with what appears to be a repetitive no chiddush klal. Zeh klal. Something is part of the animal's own body, and then it was shechted. That does not become mutter to the shechita if it's not actually functioning at the time of the shechita, and it's not connected. But something that is not part of its own body, meaning that it's a fetus, that is kosher because of the pasuk of behema ba behema, right? So what is this adding? Something that is not its body is kosher. Didn't we already talk about that case? Aha! Must be coming to add this case, that where I stuck out each piece separately and cut it, that then it's coming to tell me that whatever is left inside, even if most of it had come out and was cut off, not including the head, of course, that then you could still be matir anything inside, even if it's a small proportion of the fetus that did not come out at one time. So Gufa, that's what the Mishnah is being merames, that gradual birth and cutting off pieces, that's not called birth. Birth is where you have the roof coming out at one time, right? What else is the Mishnah talking about? Nah, come on. I mean, that's sort of far-fetched. That's what the Mishnah was thinking about. I mean, I can come up with a better suggestion than that to tell you what it is that the Zeh Klal is adding. You know what it's talking about? Well, as we talked before about Rabbi Shimon. So remember, Rabbi Shimon, we said that Rabbi Shimon was Meida, that in the event that you have a mutation, remember Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that a mutation which does not give the fetus the correct hooves. So it does not have the mafreset parsa v'shosa chesa, and it had a fused hoof. So therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's a cow, but it's a mutated cow, and it looks more, if you look at the foot, it looks like a camel foot, you know? So it's not shosa chesa. So Rabbi Shimon said, if that is born, then it's not kosher. But we said before, if it's found in the mother and the mother was shechted, then even mutations are included, right? Oh, so that's what the Mishnah is saying. Anything, even a mutation. That's the Chiddush, a Libet Rebbe Shimon. And normally Rebbe Shimon holds that a mutated para, which is a kalut, so that the legs are joined and they weren't properly split, a kalut ben para is usser. The Mishnah is coming to tell me, when did Rebbe Shimon say it's usser? Only if it wasn't found inside of the mother, and the mother was shechted while this fetus was inside. That's Hani Mile Echad Yatzel Avir Olam. If the mutation had been born, then the mutation is not allowed to be eaten. But if it was inside of the mother, Behema Ba Behema, then it would be kosher. That's what the Zaklal is. Nothing to do with your weird pshat. Okay, now we end up with like the really sharp issues here, because we can imagine a situation in which we've got two different mechitzas. How about if the fetus of an animal of Hegdash is in the Azara? Now, the biological mechitza is the mother's womb, but the halachic mechitza for the din of the korban, of the shechit of the korban, is the Chomata Azara. So now, does the Chomata Azara subsume, isn't this great, subsume the biological Mechitza, so that it doesn't matter in that case if the Uber was Otzias Yodo, because the Yodo is still inside of its broader Mechitza, which is the Chomata Azara. What would be the din? You guys are a bunch of losers. Nobody jumps for joy with this kind of question. Boy, Rav Chananya. So this is the
question. It's like talking to the...
Hotziya uber es yadoba azaramau. So what it would be, if it sticks out one of these evarim while it's in the azara and it was a karma. So what then? Do we say that since the Azara is the halakhic mechitza vis-a-vis kachim, so then it subsumes the mechitza, the biological mechitza of the mother to the child? So migud ha'avi mechitza l'gabi kachim, avi nami l'gabi dahai. Oh, Dilma, maybe we say that, look, the fetus is fundamentally a mechitza of the mother. That's its organic environment, and that is primary. And the extension of the dinim of kachim on that thing is not enough to subsume its primary organic survival mechitza. So Dilma Lagabe Hai Lav Mechitza, as far as this issue is concerned, the mechitza of the uber is its mother, because the shechita, after all, is a function of mother and not a function of the azara. Oh, no, yeah, bye. Now, hold on a sec. Just hold on a sec. Let's think this out. You raised the question, Benogea, the shechita of the mother. And that's what you said, maybe, that since we're talking about kachim, the azara is a place of shechita. Okay, that's interesting. But, I mean, this was all in terms of achila, really, right? You want to know whether it's kosher to eat or not. It's considered to be a trefa. Now, you could have asked the question, which you didn't. I suspect that you knew what you were doing when you didn't ask the question in a more direct way. Why are we talking about the question of whether the shechita vis-a-vis the korban is kosher? Why don't we talk about whether it's edible? There's a mechitza for eating that doesn't need to go into this din of shechitas kachim. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, right? So now you have over here a case where you've got Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, and the mechitza of Kachim Kalim is the walls of Yerushalayim, right? We don't have to get into the mechitza of the Azara. So the question over there is, why don't we say that since when it comes to the dinim of achilas kachim kalim, because that's the main question over here, you took like a very extreme case. What would be for achilas kachim kalim? Not shechita. And the uber sticks out. a hand in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is not considered to be the Mokum of Shechita, but it is a Mokum of Achilas Kachim Kalim. So what would you say in that case? Why didn't you ask me, well, would that be considered to be a violation of the Mechitza of the child, since the walls of Yerushalayim are also a Mechitza? So the reason that you didn't ask that question is because you took for granted that it's not going to change, even though it's a question of eating. It's the same idea of eating. It's still considered to be basar besoda, and it's not considered to be in its place for eating. So koshik in this case, you understood that it's not really ipnogea shchita. We're over there. You're talking about the walls of the Azar. That's not even nogea, the din of achila at all. So then that means that the same issue should be true over there. You yourself, Rabbi Hananya, you're ready to tell me that the fact that something is a mechitza for achilas kachim has nothing to do with the din of whether it's bas or besada treifas. So shechitas kachim should have no halacha impact on the din of the aver vis-a-vis the shechita in this case, because legabe the uber, you understand that the mother is the mechitza. You confused us by talking about shechita, which was our case. And if you think about it, you yourself understood that we really don't see any connection between the two. Now, I got another question. This is a question that we've actually spoken about before. And this is nogea, where a shechita is partially a shechita for one purpose and partially a shechita for another purpose. We raised this issue when we were dealing with the differences between the two simanim. So let's imagine a case like this. A animal is shechted partially. So let's say I shecht the veshet. And now what happens is that the uber, in this case, stuck out an arm between the shechita. Normally I would do, obviously, not the veshet, I would do the gargaret. So it's fine. Let's take that case. I shechted the kunneh. The uber sticks out its hand, and then I finish up the shechita of the ein, and then I shecht the veshet. Okay, what's the din? Now, remember that every shechita has two different purposes. One of the purposes is that it's matir, an animal ba'achila. The other purpose of shechita is that it takes off the din of the utrefa, of meaning of a chai, so that even if it dies, it's not going to be betame benevela. So that works even on treifas, even though, as we know, the treifas shchuta is not metame. It doesn't become an nevela. Obviously, you can't make it kosher because it's still a treifa, but the shchita does help in removing the din of an aver min achai, and therefore it's not considered to be dead. It's not an nevela, but, it's not kosher because there's another issue. It's a treifa. But that's totally different from the function of the shechita to make something kosher for me to eat. So the question is, if I have two completely different definitions between the veshet and the kona as to what the shechita is doing, is this a shechita to be matir, a treifa from the vela, or is this a shechita for achila and to be matir the vela? So can I put those two together? Do I say, look, well, there's still a common denominator between these two simanim, the kuna and the veshet. Both of them are coming at least for the purpose of being matayr medeina vela. Or do we say, well, you can't call that a shechita. I mean, it's a half of this and a half of that, and it's not really a shechita. We had this before in which Rava said, well, I mean, it's a kal vachomer. Seems to me it'd be a weird question. If ho'ilo simen rishon l'simen sheni, Lahatiro ben Achila. If what we're talking about over here, you can be matir, the mother and the uber, to actually eat it. So why, if you've taken off the eating and you just removed one of the avarim and turned it into a trefa, so what, it shouldn't be a proper shechita to be mitayer midei nevela? What's the logic in that? It seems to me that it would be a kal vachomer. And that's the same way that we understood it earlier as well. Now, this is a fascinating question. Mahu says, "Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Mahu lechush v'zarbo." What is the din of a ben bekua? That is, a fetus that was kosher because it was shechted in its mother's womb. Now, remember, this is a very strange situation. You've got this animal walking around, and it's conducting its normal life like any other animal, and it doesn't notice that it was shechted. As far as the animal is concerned, it thinks it's like every other animal, right? So maybe the other kids in the class are saying, "Oh, look at Johnny, he's just a piece of meat." But he doesn't realize that. So he goes around dating, and he finds himself a nice girl and so on. And now what happens is he goes and has a kid. Uh-oh. But now this kid was born from a father who's a piece of meat. So we're going to have to talk about that question in general. But how about where we've got a problem of the ben bekua that had put out a hand? Now, this father is partially a trefa. So now, if he fathers a child to this ben bekua, what would be the din of the child? Well, what exactly are we talking about? I mean, who did he manage to date? You know, was this like a normal girl, or was this another ben bekua girl so that it's just like him? So, Echidami, who was his date over here? Well, he managed to find himself a normal female, you know, and they had this child together. So why do we have to talk about the particular case where this ben bekua was a trefa, had a trefa arm or a trefa leg, right? Because it was stuck out and then brought back in. And that part was never mutter from the mother. It remained a trefa. You could have asked the question about any old ben bekua. It doesn't have to be a trefa ben bekua. Because after all, afilu ben bekua de alma would have the same kind of issues. Because according, says Rav Misharsha, according to the Man D'Omar, now we're going to see that we have a machlokas about, and this is a Gavi, where's Gavi's magic pen? What's going on over here? Ori, are you taking over the pen also? This is ridiculous. Anyway, you know how to use the magic pen? That's a pen? That looks like a magic marker. I didn't mean a magic marker. I meant a magic pen. Let me see. This? Oh, good heavens. It's more like a hot dog. Okay, I'm assuming that your father is around somewhere. Okay. All right. So we've got a question called Chayshinan Lezera Ha'av, but it begins with a bracket of Lo Chayshinan. This is a machlokas. So if we are talking, let's say the Torah gives a din of Otova Ed Bino. So you're not allowed to shecht a mother and child on the same day, right? Can you shecht a father and child on the same day? So this question is, look, mothers, they seem to do an awful lot in this reproduction business. I mean, like the whole child develops in the mother and so on. I understand that the mother is definitely connected to the child. When the Torah said, don't shecht the mother and child, that makes sense for a mother. But fathers are basically a waste of time. So the question is, do we say that that little bit of sperm there donated by the father, that that makes a difference? That Chayshinan Lezera Ha'av, going to worry about the sperm of the father? Or when we're talking about an animal, it's just sort of like, you know, a catalyst of some kind. We don't really worry about fathers very much. So that's a machlokas. Now the question is, if you hold, according to the Man D'Omar, who says, Chayshishin Lezera Ha'av, so then we've got a problem. Because if a ben bekua mates with a normal female, the child is half shechted at birth, because the father actually is not an animal that can take shechita. That father is a walking piece of meat. And therefore, this child is the child of a piece of meat and an animal. Don't you love these abstractions? So therefore, since a piece of meat will not be able to be shechted, because it already is shechted, there's no way to ever be matir that child. And you cannot eat that child because you can't shecht it. If you're going to try to shecht it, we'll say, what are you doing? You're cutting a piece of meat. Well, what about its mother? So half a piece of meat, I don't know, but how would you be able to shecht the whole thing? So why, in this case, would you be talking about specifically a ben bekua that had a problem with one of his arms or something, that it was a trefa? You could have just discussed the regular case if it was talking about that he managed to fool a regular nice girl cow into accepting him as a possible husband. So what do you say must be there for? Since we could have asked that with any kind of ben bekua. So Rabbi Yirmiyah must have not been referring to a case where he found himself a nice normal cow. He must have been talking about that he found a special needs cow who was also a ben bekua. So lo tzricha da ozo a ben bekua de kavate. Look, you can find shidduchim for anybody nowadays. You know what I mean? So if this guy's got a little bit of a problem, namely that he's a walking piece of meat and he's a trefa to boot. So now the question is, if he finds himself another ben bekua to date, so what would be the din? We're worried about the particular part of the father that's a trefa, right? And now, how do we look at the reproductive process? Do we consider that if a father has got a usher hand, that means that remember, we're looking, one way to look at reproduction is that it's analogs, right? This is the way that most understood reproduction until very recently. Since there's no way to give over information until you had the development of information theory, which was a very, very recent development, the only way, I mean, you can't imagine giving digital instructions for building a human, right? You would have to give analog instructions. So the only way to give analog instructions was to imagine that basically the genes are transferred through a little picture of what the final result will be, right? So this is really what everybody thought, and that what you have in sperm is little tiny humans. And those tiny humans, they have little tiny testes that have little tiny sperms that are little humans inside of them. And it's turtles all the way down, basically, right? Because as Stephen Jay Gould pointed out, there's no alternative to this. It sounds insane, but since there is no possible way, because at one time, if you're intelligent, you understood there is no alternative. It's not magic. It has to be information. And the only way to transfer information is by giving a picture of the information and letting it grow. It's got to be analog. You can't put things together by giving ridiculous instructions of different numbers or different chemicals and different orders. You're going to make a human being by writing a bunch of letters? Come on, man. That's a joke. That's even stupider than the people who believe it's magic, right? So, okay. So therefore, the one way of looking at it is that there is the equivalent of Lamarckism in the old-fashioned analog information. So what would that be, a Lamarckism? Well, if the father would be missing a hand, so then the little sperm would be missing a hand, right? And the tiny homunculus would not have a hand. So that would mean that each piece over here, he's not missing a hand. Later on, we're going to bring a proof that obviously can't be, because it doesn't happen that way. But so the question over here is, if the hand of the homunculus is considered to be, in this case, of course, it doesn't look very much like a homunculus, but it looks like a paramunculus, right? So in this case, the father has a hand that's not a kosher hand, so then that means that the baby's hand will also not be kosher. That's the question. So do we consider that each piece of the aver that is in the father is molded another aver in its microscopic version? And because of that, the one piece of the child that will be usher would only be the hand, if that was the part that was usher on the father. So then you could cut off that part of it, and then you could eat the rest of it. Or do we say, no. The entire organism forms its genetic inheritance, and mebalbal zare, and every part of it is involved in this, and therefore the whole thing is usher. Tosfos says, why would the whole thing be usher? Why won't it be Zevizegorim? He doesn't answer the question. There's a lot of discussion of this issue. Why it's not called Zevizegorim if it's Mevalbal Zare. But you can understand that Zevizegorim is only when there's two separate gormim. I mean, this is not separate gormim. It's different parts of the same gormim. But anyway, so Tosfos doesn't even bother answering the question, just raises it. So do we say that maybe the whole thing is also because it has Isser in it? And then he said, but what am I talking about? Obviously, we don't have a one-to-one correspondence of the genetic material to whatever it produces, because if you would, then why wouldn't someone who's blind have blind children? Or why wouldn't we have someone who's lame have lame children? I mean, so that's a stupid question, gosh. Obviously, we don't have that one-to-one correspondence because im kein suma yolit suma and ketia yolit ketia, and that's absurd. So pshita de mevavel zare. So what was the question? That couldn't have been the question. So what the intelligent question would have been would be this. What we want to learn, what we want to know is like this. Any organism that contributes its life force into building some type of germ cell that allows it to reproduce, it needs to utilize all parts of itself to produce that germ cell, right? Now, parts of itself includes chelev, that's usher to eat, blood, that's usher to eat, so you've got chelev, dam, and so on, and all of that's included in its germ cells. And so what's the difference? So over here, it includes a little bit of trephis in its germ cells. Does it matter? So, or is there a specific, the Torah was matter a certain amount of Isser, dam, chelev, that, yes, but not trephis. So maybe only those two things. Treisri amrinan, but tlata, to add trephis to the deal, maybe that does affect germ cells. I don't know. That's our question. Well, wait a second. This question does not really make much sense, because who are you asking this question according? Are you asking the question according to Rabbi Meir or according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because they're mutually exclusive. I'll tell you why. If you're asking the question according to Rabbi Meir, there is only an Isser Chelev Vidam. There is no Isser Trefus, because Rabbi Meir does not hold that a Ben Bekuah, we're going to see later on in the Mishnah next week, we're going to see that Rabbi Meir disagrees with this whole idea of an Aver that was Yotze being Trefa. And he holds that, Bichlal, he says, there's no such din, there's no such din of the Shritas Aim being Matir at all. It's not a question of this Aver. It's just the whole thing is ridiculous, according to Rabbi Meir, because you can't eat a Ben Bekur without Shrita. So if that's the case, so then there's no point of discussing the trefa of one aver. The whole thing is never considered to be part of the mother's shrita anyway. So according to him, the discussion is absurd. There's only an Isser Chelev Adam. He doesn't agree that there's such a concept of the Isser of Chelev, the Isser of trefa, which is Isser Yotze. So forget the question according to Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is only an Isser of Yotze, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he's the one that holds that a Ben Bekua is Mutter without Shvita, unless if one of its Avarim went outside. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's the Mishnah we just had. It's a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda, not a little bit of Rabbi Meir. The only thing is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Uber does not have Chelev. and that even the actual chalev in the uber is just considered to be a piece of meat when it comes to the mother, because he says, is a chalev leka, because we're going to see the baita, the Tanya, gira nashe, noe b'shlil v'chelbo asur, divi Rebbe Meir. So according to Rebbe Meir, this makes a great deal of sense. According to Rebbe Meir, an uber is its own organism, and therefore it has its own gira nashe, and it has its own chalev, and so on. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, and it's not true. There's no din of a gira nashe, there's just meat. And there's no din of a chalev, and chalev is mutter. So your question is a ridiculous question. Whether you hold like Rebbe Meir, whether you hold like Rebbe Yehuda, we never get to ask, maybe you can only be matir two different types of Isurians and germ cells and not three. I mean, so what kind of weird question is that? So obviously, that was ridiculous. Call me kayach lo amrina deshari. We don't say that because germ cells are produced by bodies that have Isur. Forget about that. That was silly. Okay. So what we wanted to know was, when we said, what about its zera? We were referring to its sperm. We were referring to its milk. It's talking about a female. The reason we discussed its zera is because it's only at the point that the animal would be pregnant that it would start to lactate. So we said, are we chayish for when it has a child? That's what we were asking. And when it has a child. Now the question is, can you drink that milk? Ma'o legmoa at chalbo. So now, what's my question? If this ben bekua is female ben bekua and it is giving milk, can I drink it or not? Because, look, all milk is essentially coming from a live animal, and the Torah allowed you to drink milk, as we're going to see later on from the pasuk, and that means that we have a heter of Avram and Achai when it comes to meat. So what's the difference? Even if it has been milk from an animal that is missing the din of kashrus of one of the legs or arms, doesn't matter. The Torah says you don't have to worry about where the milk comes from. And in this case, there was no shechita se'im on the mother, there was no kashrus of this mother on its hand. Doesn't matter. Oh, Dilma, maybe there's a difference. A regular animal at least is theoretically dealable with. I can take off the Isser of Avram and Achai on the mother. But in this, by shechting it. But in this case, I cannot take the Isser of Avram and Achai from the mother. Because the mother is already, has parts in it that cannot be shechted because it was the Bet Bekua. So, what's the din? Fascinating issue. Take it. Okay. Now, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah is that if you cut out a piece of the animal, leave it inside, then you can't eat it. But if you cut off parts of the uber and you leave it inside, then you can eat it. That's weird. Where does that come from? What is the mucker of all of this? We've been assuming this mucker all along, and we never really addressed it directly. We finally get up to the pasuk that we spoke about before, and I'll remind you of the pasuk. V'chol behema, mafreset parsa shosach esesh eprasot ma'alatira, ba behema. So essentially, first word in the pasuk, v'chol behema, ending with ba behema. That ototochelu. Behema, ba behema, ototochelu. You can eat an animal inside of another animal. What is an animal inside of another animal? It's called a fetus. And that means that you can always eat a fetus. So, let's take a look at the pasuk in the Gemara. Dichti. V'chol behema, mafreset parsa ba behema. What's this ba behema mean? L'rabot et havlad. An animal in an animal. Wait a minute. If you're telling me that the Torah is referring to an animal in an animal, is referring to a fetus, then that means you're telling me that the Torah defines a fetus as an animal. But then if that's true, and it has its own status of being an animal, why can I not make a tumura? Obviously, I'm not allowed to make a tumura, but why, if I made a tumura of a fetus, why wouldn't it work? It's called an animal. And the pasuk, if of the dinim Ima Miriamir Behema Bivehema. Aha, it sounds very much like this. Ima Miriamir Behema Bivehema. Solvaya Hut Muratoya Kodesh. So you're telling me this is a Behema? This is a Behema Babehema. So why can't I be Mamir this Behema Babehema as a Behema Bivehema for a Tmura? And yet, the Mishnah says, you cannot create a Tmura by trying to make a Tmura of an Uber. We're trying to make the Uber a Tmura. It doesn't work. Why not? It's because it's not called a Behema. But here you're telling me it is called a Behema. And that's the reason that I'm allowed to eat it, because it's a Behema Babehema. So it's a contradiction. Elameata Mirubo. It's according to what you're saying that it's called a Behema. Why am I not able to make a Tmura? Why does it say in the Mishnah of Tmura, it says beferish that ein meimirin, doesn't mean you're not allowed to be meimir. Obviously, you're never allowed to be meimir. You cannot be meimir. Lo evarim ba'ubarim. You can't have a particular aver, like we'll talk about over here, for an entire uber, or an uber for an aver, or you can't even use an aver or an uber for a shalim. So there's no Tmura. I'm assuming there's no Tmura because an Aver is not called a Behema and because an Uber is not called a Behema. But here you're telling me the only reason I'm allowed to eat the Uber in the mother is because it is called a Behema. So how do you explain that? You're right. Okay. So I changed my mind. It's not because it says Behema, Ba Behema. It's because it says V'chol Behema. So v'chol behema means kol ba behema. Not behema ba behema, but kol ba behema. Take the first word of the pasuk and say anything that you would find in the behema would be including anything. And that would include even things that are not a behema. It would include even a fetus. Whoa, wait a minute. If you're telling me anything I find in the animal is kosher, so why, if I left a spleen or a liver inside of the animal, why isn't that kosher also? It says, v'chol ba'behema, anything in the animal. You give me this whole big deal in the Mishnah. Now, no, it's only if it's an actual fetus, but if it's a piece that was left inside after an operation, that's not going to be mutter b'shchita. Well, why not? How do you explain that? Afil chotech min atchol min aklayot nami. It should be kosher no matter what. So then why do we say, Alomatan, Chotech min ubar shebemeya, muter bachila, but minat cholo minaklayot, aser bachila. Our Mishnah said beferish that that's no good. So what are you telling me? That I learned it out from kol? It would be included in kol? True. But remember the end of the pasuk doesn't say tochelu. It says ota tochelu. Ota means the whole thing. This thing, this organism. Well, the spleen is not an organism in itself, and therefore it's only shleima you can eat, the lo chasera. But still, I got a problem. If you're telling me that v'chol comes to be mater, anything that you find in the animal. Now, we used that before, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that mutations are not kosher if they're born. But they are kosher if they're found in the mother's womb after Shechita, right? Well, there's a problem. Because if it says v'chol, see, before I thought we were learning the mafreset parsan, but now anything it says, v'chol babema, otatochelu. Okay, so let's say that I've got a really serious mutation. I've got a cow that ends up having claws on its feet instead of having any type of similar hoof. It doesn't have hooves. It's got claws. What's the din? It looks like a bird. How about then? So if you're telling me that I learned out from the word kol, that means anything at all that I would find in a behema should be kosher, according to Rabbi Shimon, even, who says that mutations are not kosher. And yet, how do you explain the fact that me'ata, according to this, if you shecht an animal and you find in something inside that looks like a bird, matzah badmut yonah, it should be mutter because it's a mutation, but who cares? It says kol ba'behema. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that if you shecht a mammal and you find a very crazy mutation in which it looks like a bird, it doesn't even look like a mammal. It's usher b'achila. How do you explain that? No, wait a minute. Can I explain that? Because after it says v'chol beima, it adds the words mafreset parsa. So that means what kind of animal is found in the animal that's kosher? Only an animal that has hooves. Oh, wait a second. I got you now. Because before you said that I learned from there that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if you only have a single parasa, that it's normally, if it would be born and it doesn't have the properly completed cleft hooves that it should have, that it wouldn't be kosher. But if it's in the mother, it is kosher. Now you're telling me that in even in the mother, it says that you need to have parasot. So then it should be usher even if we find it in the mother. And you said it's not usher. If you're telling me we learned from the pasuk parasot, and this one doesn't have parasot, and that's why it's usher, if it looks like a bird. Well, if it looks like a camel, it also doesn't have parasot. So that means everything we said until now, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, was wrong? And Elamiyata, if this is true, kolut bime'e paralitzar, why doesn't it be usher if it only has one hoof on each foot? Huh? And it says the Gemara, these are two different limudim. Parasa and parasot are two different limudim. Hotana devei Rabbi Yishmael, we know there's a price of Rabbi Yishmael that he was learning according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and this is what that Braita says. Parasa babehima tochel. If you find even one parasa, babehima uta tochel. So even if it only has one hoof, instead of being the regular shosach esa, as long as it's babehima, you are allowed to eat it. We use the parasot to tell me something else. But it needs to have a parasot. If it doesn't even have one parasot, and instead it has duck legs or it has dove legs, that's not a parasot. And that is telling me that that is not mutter. It's a mutation. So there's a limit to what mutations are mutter, and that we learn out from the kol, which is then modified by parasa. Look, I know there's an awful lot of information here on the daf. It's really opening up your mind to like dozens of different issues. And it sort of feels like you're being cut open, you know, and we'll stop soon enough. Okay. But just hold on a little bit longer. And then when you follow Richie for your 40 times Chazora, it'll soon become second nature. But there's another way to get around this. Bipshimi Barashi says, no problemo. There's an entirely different limud over here about why you can't make a tamura. Forget about the coal business. Gets you into all of this jazz. Does it add parasot? Does it need one parasot? And forget about all of that. Go back to what you said before. The truth is that what you said, the original drush, behema, babehema, that's the correct drush. Now, you had a problem. Why is it, if that's the case, why can I not make a tmura of this bema, ma bema? Why does the Mishnah in Tmura say that ubarim, evarim, are not able to be made a tmura of? This is a brilliant drasha. Says Rav Shimi bar Ashi, tell me something. Didn't you ever wonder why at the end of Vayikra, when we're talking about Meiser Behema, all of a sudden, it repeats the Isser of Tumura. What the heck is that for? What do we need? A special din of Tumura on Meiser Behema? Any animal that's a carbon is considered to be a Tumura, and you can't make a Tumura. Why does it repeat the din of Tumura? It's because the Kakashalo Chaim Mamirian, you were wondering, why can I not make a Tumura? That's not because it's not a Behema. It's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, who compares Meiser Behema to Tmura. And he says, why does the Torah write the din of Tmura again with Meiser Behema? To compare Tmura to Meiser Behema. What? What kind of comparison? Well, how do you take off Meiser Behema? It says in the Pasuk, Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShevet. Okay, so you're counting. 1, 2, 3. You get to number 10. You take your red paint and you paint the animal that's walking through and you say, Hareze Maaser, right? Okay, now here's the situation. You've got animal number 1 walks through, 2 walks through, number 10 walks through, but it's not an animal at all. It's a walking liver dancing its way through, or it's a fetus that can't walk. Ah, that means that livers and fetuses are not able to be made tmuras of. That's why the Mishnah says, lo evorim v'uvorim. Nothing to do with whether it's called a behema. It only has to do whether it knows how to walk through the gate. Since we've never seen a walking liver and never hope to see one, we therefore can conclude that livers and fetuses are not considered to be tmura. So just like Maaser eino noheg beivorim v'ubarim, af tmura eino noheget beivorim v'ubarim, a grand, beautiful way to explain the repetitive dinim of tmura at the end of Vayikra. Wow. And I'm telling you that that's why I say that this is Rabbi Shimon specifically. It's Minot Tamra. How do I know that that would only be true according to Rabbi Shimon? Which would mean that the Mishnah in tmura that says that you cannot be Mamir, Evarim, Bubarim, and so on, is only going on Libra Rabbi Shimon. What makes me say that? Well, take a look at the end of that Mishnah itself. What does it say? The Tanan. Omer Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said, apparently to whoever was arguing with him in the Tanakhama, he said, wait a minute. If you're going to make something Kodesh, you can make it Kodesh by saying the foot of this animal should be on Korban Eila. Now, we don't paskin like that. If you say the lungs of this animal should be an Eila, the head of this animal should be an Eila, yes. If it's an organ that is absolutely essential for the survival, it's called Davar Shanishamat Luyabo. Anyway, that's another Kavi rule. A davar shanishamat luyabo, it's called poshta kedusha bekula. The kedusha goes and takes over the entire animal. But according to Rabbi Yossi, any part of the animal that you made kodesh, even if you just made a foot kodesh, it would also be poshta bekula. A new Kavi concept called poshta kedusha bekula. So then Rabbi Yossi is saying to somebody, isn't it true that Tchilas Hegdash, remember we've used the word Tchilas Hegdash versus Sof Hegdash in the past. Tchilas Hegdash means making something Hegdash. Sof Hegdash means transferring something that already was Kodesh, and that is Tmura, right? So Tchilas Hegdash you could make by saying, Ha'omer Ragla Shel Zola, if this foot is an Ola, the whole thing Kula Ola becomes an Ola. So that would mean that if you say regel shel zu should be tachat zu, it should be a tumura, it should be exactly the same thing. Why can't I learn out tumura of an aver from tchilas hegdash of an aver? So tehe kula tumura tachteh, why doesn't the whole thing become a tumura? Therefore, I disagree with you, says Rabbi Yossi to the Tanakhama. Now, who is that Tanakhama? That Tanakhama can only be someone that it makes sense for Rabbi Yossi to say that to. It would have to be a Tana who holds, I agree with you that if you say Ragla Shazu Hegdash, that then Tchilas Hegdash, yes, Tchilas Hegdash indeed does work that way. But I disagree with you about Sof Hegdash. So then it would make sense for Rabbi Yossi to say, well, if you're ready to agree with me on Tchilas Hegdash, then Omer Ragla Shazu Hola. It's Kula Ayla. Why don't you agree with me about a Tmura that Omer Ragla Shazu Tmura? Should the whole thing should be a Tmura? Then it would be making sense, right? Who is that Tana? Who is he talking to? was he talking to the normal people that would be the authors of the Mishnah? Would it be Rabbi Meir, you think? Would it be Rabbi Yehuda, who argues usually with Rabbi Yossi? No, neither of them agreed that Omer Ragla Shazu Ayla Kula Ayla. So what's he arguing with them about? He said, why don't you agree with me about the Tmura? We don't agree with you about anything. Why are you talking to us about the Tmura? Because, Tanya, you might think somebody says, Ragla Shazu Ayla Kula Ayla. No, that's a terrible mistake. Talmud Omar, only the part that you gave to God will be holy. Mimenu kodesh, lo kulo kodesh. You might think if that's the case, the kedusha is not chal at all. Not only the whole animal doesn't become kodesh, nothing becomes kodesh. That's also not true. Yochot teitzelechulin. No, it says yie kodesh. Yie means there's definitely going to be kedusha here. It retains its kedusha. So how to explain that? Is it yes or is it no? Explain it very simply. The leg is kodesh and the rest of it isn't kodesh. So what do you do with an animal whose only its leg is kodesh? Well, very simple. You sell the animal for use for carbon oila, and the money that was paid for the animal, all of it is chulin, except for the value of the part of the animal that was made kodesh. That's all. So that part is actually goes to the Beis HaMikdash. And who says that? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Different Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yossi be talking to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? He couldn't be. The only one he could be talking to is Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon both argue on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And they say, we disagree with you guys. Binayin lomer, ragla shazu ola te kula ola, tamud lomer, yiyah, according to us, means the whole animal will become kodesh. Mirabot et kula. So I'm asking you, who was Rabbi Yossi talking to when he said, well, if you agree with me for tchilas kodesh, that if you say the regal should be kodesh, the whole thing should be kodesh, who's he talking to? Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, what are you talking about? I don't agree. Rabbi Yehuda? Don't agree. The only one he could be talking to is Rabbi Shimon. That's why I said that he's saying this only I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, because Laman, in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they don't agree with him even on the part of Tiras Hagdash. Mi it lehai svara? El alav is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, right? So we see that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah that says you cannot make tmura with avarim or with ubarim. Very clear. Says the Gemara, it's not clear at all. Who's to say that Rabbi Yossi's talking to anybody? Maybe Rabbi Yossi's talking to himself. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is explaining where he gets this from. You don't agree with me? Tough. I hold that Tchilas Hekdesh is good enough to say Ragla Shazu Ayla. And therefore, I hold that the Tmura is the same thing. The Regel itself, an Aver, is enough to make a Tmura. Now, you disagree with me? Bye-bye. I couldn't care less. I'm only telling you what I hold. Rabbi Yossi, time of the Navsheka Omar. And that, unfortunately, we're going to have to stop at this Mishnah. But Bezrat Hashem will make it up tomorrow. Ah, what a bunch of fun. I'm telling you, it should be usher to have this much fun during the 3 weeks. Maybe there should be problems of learning this parak during the 3 weeks. We'll look it up. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day. Go to...